This Sunday. Every Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
If you change your mind, take a chance, I'm the first in line. Honey, I'm still free. Take a chance on me. If you need me, let me know. Gonna be around. If you got no place to go when you're feeling down. If you're all alone.
All right, teens, fiends, and dancing queens, you've tuned into Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, and we're your hosts, wearing our motion capture suits, Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. Of course, we're honoring the Swedish pop group ABBA, whose first album released in 40 years is titled Voyage. Chris, to you.
Hi, Ray. Chris,
I didn't want to interrupt your dancing. I'm so sorry about that.
No, that's quite all right.
You were doing a very good job.
Yes, thank you. We're still off in a cloud of indecision here at Motormouth Radio. I'm always pleased.
Excellent. That's always good.
So tell me, we have hopefully we don't have a waterlogged show today, but how did you fare during Hurricane Ida, coming storming up the Northeast and dumping inches and inches and inches of water upon your presence? How did you do?
We grilled and roasted Idaho potatoes. How's that? Actually, where we are and where the studio is on this nice little nook on the south shore of Long Island, we fared very well. It all happened to our west and south, like Queens, the city, New Jersey got really dumped on. And then it kind of looped around and went up the top of the island to the North Shore, where those towns got kind of decimated. You're on the other side of that, so you were kind of insulated. So, yeah, we were both very fortunate to be in good spots. So,
yeah, we were. And we fared very well as well here weather-wise. The water just came straight down. There was no wind. And thankfully, there was very little dampness in the basement, which I was very pleased.
That's always
nice. So was my insurance agent as well. And speaking of insurance, I was just reading this. Do you realize that if your car was flooded in Ida anywhere, if you reached the door handles or anything like that, you may have an insurance issue with that car? Your insurance company may not cover it.
I know that there are some funny little quirks to insurance. Like if my car is on my driveway and something like that happens or a tree falls on it, you know, my house insurance is no, that's what you have car insurance for. But if your car is on my driveway and it gets damaged, they'll cover it. Right.
Yeah. I always thought it was the other way around. I always thought that if your car, if a tree fell in your yard on your car in your driveway, your home insurance would cover that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
that's
I know.
The umbrella thing.
Well, that's what you would think would be common sense. And if we're talking about a lot of different entities, insurance companies included, that doesn't always work. But that's why they always say, and we've reiterated this over the years, if you have a project car that you're working on, and it may be long term, or maybe not, and you have it in your garage, insure the dopey thing. You know, get a Hagerty or whatever policy of choice, and it's not expensive, especially if you don't have the value super, super high yet because the car is not done. Because if something like that happens, if the garage roof caves in, or if rabid squirrels get in there, or, squirrels love tools too, they love to throw them.
Yeah, your drunk brother-in-law gets in there and starts using power tools.
Or, God forbid, there's a fire. Hey, listen, I was putting, we were outside on the deck last night, and I was putting things away to come in the house. One of the things I had was this cigar in an ashtray, and I said, you know what? I was very confident that it went out, so I wanted to dump everything in the garbage, and I said, aha, I dumped the contents of the ashtray that was ashes in the garbage, but I left that cigar in the ashtray and put it on the bench. This way, in case it wasn't out, it would just burn out in the ashtray and not light a garbage can fire, which is right under the shelf where all the chemicals are, spray cans and whatnot. And that's what happens. That's how those disasters happen. It's 3 a.m, when they take, takes time to smolder. So, yeah, if you have a car in a garage, insure it. Just it's cheap to do. It's not a lot of money, and you'll be happy. That's the definition of insurance, right? I mean, you buy it because you think you're going to need it, and they say you're not going to need it. So, and hopefully of they're course. Right.
And I'm sure there are insurance companies now, classic car insurance companies, that will insure a vehicle that is being restored and not being put on the road right away. But there are policies that would cover a vehicle like that.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Wasn't like that in the old days, now they've definitely come up a notch and they're doing things.
Yeah, it wasn't. And a lot changed in that regard. And I know I've spoke to insurance agents through the years and they said, they will, as long as you have a registration, as long as that's, it's your car. I don't even know if they care if it's your car, truthfully. As long as you have possession of it, you can insure it. I mean, I did another thing. I remember when I moved into this house many years ago, I learned this when I was in my first house. I said, of course, my garage is covered, right? And the agent said, well, no, it's a, you have a detached garage, right? Yeah, no, it's not covered. I'm like, what? I'm like, what about all my tools, my equipment, my car? Well, the car's got to be covered under a car policy, he said. Right. And all of your tools and equipment, he goes, homeowner policies will cover up to, a couple $100 in tools. I was like, ha, 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 ha. I said, you want to take... Yeah.
Scoff at that.
Yeah, it's basically like, your hand saws, your claw hammer, and your bent screwdrivers, and that stuff. I said, listen, I have quite a lot of tools and equipment. And he said, oh, well, no, it won't cover that. You need to get a rider policy, my son, my friend. I'm like, what? So I had to put a rider on my house insurance to cover that stuff in the garage. Yeah.
Wow.
And
holy smokes.
Said, if it does get stolen, I mean, you're out a lot of money. So.
Yeah, that's for sure. If they can haul it out of your garage.
every couple of years, it's not a bad. We used to do this. I think we now my wife handles most of those chores. But I think every few years we do just shop around again for another rate and see.
You should.
We do. Just like you do it with your oil prices. If you have an oil burner and you do it for other services and, you always try and tell cable, I'm gonna cancel a service if you don't lower the rate. Everybody plays those games. With the insurances, it's the same thing. And oftentimes, you can get a good rate through an affiliation you might have with a club or an association or a union or things like that. Dare I say it, AARP even has some good rates.
as a collective automotive society, we are creeping up there in the niche. Yes.
We are.
No, it's true. I always talk about the sneaky price increase with a lot of insurance companies because you're like, oh, it only went up $10. What's the big deal? It's no big deal. We're good customers. We haven't put in a claim. It only went up $10. But that's what ends up happening. At least my theory is that price keeps going up because it's like the familiarity.
Right.
I've been a customer for 25 years, and everything's fine. But why am I paying so much for insurance?
Exactly.
That price keeps creeping up. So I feel you're right, where every couple of years you should revisit other insurance policies. And I've done it too with my agent. I've called my agent and went, I'm not paying this. What are you, crazy?
Yeah.
So,
the other good thing is, like you said the magic word, the agent. We do have an agent now who I got from a referral from a good friend a few years ago, and she's kind of on top of things. A lot of times she'll call us and say, hey, you know what? I got a deal on a better rate. I want to move your policy. And other times we've called her and said the same thing. Hey, listen, maybe I'm looking to add or subtract or make a small move. By the way, what are my options, and then she'll check into it and say, hey, I can do this or that for you. How old is your kid? Okay. Because as the kids get older, things change with insurance.
Sure.
So she's done that. She's made those moves for us over the years. So it is really, I mean, I can't make the blanket statement to say how good agents are in general, because I don't know. I have mine, and I know that right. She's very good. But
yours is good.
So, you know,
that's all you know.
Well, so yeah, the thing is, call yours and talk to them and see, you know, like who handles my insurance, and you get to know them on a first name basis. And then ask, hey, you know, can you do anything better for me in these areas? Because, you know, it's just, we're just shopping. And if they're doing their job, they'll do it. So
very true.
If you're doing your job, or if you're not doing your job, you can call us and find out about it at 516-572-7440. And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're Motor Mouth Radio, if you didn't figure it out. And that's on the web. It's on Twitter. It's on Faccia Brutta Facebook. And the only deviance is on Instagram, which is Joe's favorite. It's Real _ Motor Mouth Radio.
And yes,
you can see some stuff.
Just speaking of Joe, just real fast, I want to tip my hat to Obi-Don Cannoli, Joe D, and the man I affectionately call Uncle Ivoonge. I think he hit it right on the head with my Chrysler LeBaron starter issue. I replaced the relay. When last we spoke, I was having a little relay issue. You turn the key and the relay would just click. You just hit click, click, click. The battery is good.
Good.
And the wiring is good, and you just hear click. But if you hit that key a couple of times, then it would engage and start. So I was going for the starter first as the culprit, and Joe redirected, if you listened to last week's Technological Marvel, which was our show, redirected me to the relay, which I actually had a relay in stock.
Uh-huh.
Which was nice. I checked my computer, which was that thing in between my ears, my head, my brain, and went, wait a minute, I have one of those. Mm-hmm. So I swapped it out, and it seems to be working. For now.
Right.
Joe is a genius now.
Yeah. He was a genius yesterday, and he'll be one tomorrow, too.
Yes, you bet. I'm sure of that. So I just wanted to throw out that news flash.
You know, let me tell you this. One of the tests that we do for relays, I was explaining those test blocks that I have that I should post those again so people can see, because it's a great tool made by Lyle. And, you know, Lyle's a good friend of ours. We've had Eddie Lyle on the show. We have to get him back again. And but what you do, one of the tests when I was working on a Grand National, one of the things I wanted to see was, is the relay working? Because the relay can work and a device may not work if there's a break in between or if the device is bad. And what the typical test is, you just put a finger or two on top of the relay and then trigger it. In that case, either hit the key, turn the switch, whatever makes that relay activate. And you should feel that clicking of the relay inside. You'll sense it.
It's manual.
Unless you have calluses like, you know, concrete, you'll be able to feel it.
Right. It's a physical thing. It's an arm shifting back and forth, basically.
And in the case of this Buick, I just went in and started tickling the terminals with power and ground. And
that's what you kids call it nowadays.
That's
I know.
What we call it. And I got that relay to work. But we changed it just as a kid. So you could also, it's like when you get a little stuck float or a stuck needle seat in your carburetor. What do? You take the back end of a screwdriver, the plastic end, and you tap the fuel bulb. You can actually tap the relay and sometimes get it to say, oh, what do you want me to do? Oh, okay, you want me to close. It works.
You wake it up.
Yeah. I mean, and I will say, if a relay is sticky or not active like that, because they get worn over time, the little arm. They're not solid state. They are mechanical devices. There are solid state relays, but they're totally, those are the ones that are in a fuse box that look like a square. It looks like a couple fuses soldered together, you know, melted together. Those are relays. They're solid state. They don't have the same problems. But the mechanical ones, yeah, you can tickle them and sometimes make them work. But if that makes it work, then you got to say, all right, well, if it's stuck once, it's probably going to stick again. So, you know.
Exactly.
Keep
and that's usually
around.
What I did was I put my in-stock relay in, but I took the old relay and I just threw it in the glove box just in case I'm out and about.
Right.
And maybe that's not the problem.
Now, what you should do is I highly recommend take that thing apart and take a look at it. You know, you may need to use a lighted magnifier, but you'll see the little arm, you'll see the points, you'll see the springs, you'll see all the stuff that goes on in there. And there's a lot of brass and copper and nickel in some cases. And get an eye on it. And you can see, you know, I like to see, did the points burn because they stuck? Just for my own edification, I stick my hands in fans for fun. You know, it's like, I like doing stupid things like that. So what can I tell you? It's just me.
I know. I was impressed at the fact that the problem was solved and remedied in a matter of about 15 minutes.
Yes.
Which
now,
is great.
What do you think that would have cost you in a shop to have that diagnosed and fixed? Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. No. And that's what I truly love about the show. I've always said, you know, when we first started the show, I thought I was going to be the authority figure. Oh no. Yeah,
right.
There are people that have forgotten more than I know, and yeah. I'm very impressed by them constantly. But I love the fact that I learn more than I've dispensed, and I think that's the joy of the show.
I did a job yesterday, and we had this conversation prevailed through the whole job. It ends up my daughter and her fiance and his brother are going to be driving down south in the end of the week, and they're going to be they're going to see a football game of all things. They're going to go see a Jets pregame.
Okay.
Well, they're football fans, and they know he has family down there, so they're going to roll it into a visit, and they're going to also look at some properties. And well, we're all kind of doing the same thing, but
okay,
they're taking the brother's Jeep Grand Cherokee, which I had just heard stories about this thing about how I got this picture in my mind of it's been a repair nightmare. There's always problems with it. I'm like, oh my God, they're going to drive this. So I said, listen. Let me take a look at it before you go. So that was yesterday. And I got to say, the thing was nowhere near what I thought it was going to be. It was in really nice shape, you know.
Really?
But what I wanted to do is I literally just took the brakes off every wheel to see, just to make sure that the pads were good, make sure the sliders were okay. And I found minor problems everywhere, you know, with this thing. But nothing that's going to stop me from taking this trip. And right. All along the way, I kept telling, you know, my daughter's fiance, like, you know, this is why we do this, and this is why we check this. And you see this, like, it has two piston calipers on the front, and one of the seals on each of the calipers, one of the seals on one of the pistons on each caliper was already a little torn. I said, this is going to be an issue. I said, the pistons went back in now nicely. I said, down the road, this is going to be an issue, and the caliper is going to have to be changed. I looked them up. They weren't that expensive. And I was throwing out numbers at him. I said, but what it's going to cost at a shop is going to be hundreds of dollars. I said, if he brings it to me, I said, we get the parts for under, you know, just 100 and change or whatever. And then I throw them on and, you know, we save a lot of money. So it was like this learning lesson of what does stuff cost in a shop as opposed to, you know, doing it yourself. Now, not everybody, I don't recommend that everybody goes and does brakes because not everybody should do brakes. Right. Like, you know, he shouldn't, but, you know, I certainly would. And, you know, we just kind of went through.
I was waiting for that. Well, yeah. I was waiting for one of those little kernels of information. I was going to ask, was the fiance absorbing everything you were saying, or was his head tipped back going?
No. He was kind of into it, and I tell you, I actually got him involved in the process because he was watching me. He could have been sitting down and relaxing with everybody else, but he was, you know, hanging out and interested. And I explained to him, I used my whiz wheel with my die grinder with my 3M Scotch-Brite discs.
Yeah.
And I showed him how I clean off the inside of the aluminum wheel and then the mating hub on the rotor, and I paint it with Neversees. And I explained to him why. I said, because these wheels a lot of times are stuck. I said, you know, you take the lug nuts off, and you try to take the wheel off, it doesn't move. So you hit it with the palms of your hand. No. So now you hit it again, and you hit it with both. I said, then you sit on the ground, and you use your feet. You kick like a backwards mule.
You sit on the tailbone and just start going bang, bang, bang with your feet. Yes.
And, you know, it started on the left side, and they came off without a problem. But there was a lot of oxidation. So I did the first one, and then he was asking me questions about the Neversees and about the tool. So I said, here, you do one. I said, you do it. I said, be careful with the tool because it will grab. It's going to, you know, it's not always a pretty – you don't always do it looking like a pro because sometimes, you know, it grabs and you're jerking all over the place. Yeah. It's, you know.
It's a technique, just like everything else.
I said, it is a technique. And then when it came to the Neversees, I said, okay, now go in the garage and get a pair of the surgical gloves. I said, you'll need those because I said, there's a really cute meme going around, which I actually don't have saved on my phone. And it said, if you've ever used this stuff, and it was a bottle of aluminum, you know, the silver Neversees, you've probably looked like this. And then it was a picture of the Tin Man, you know, top to bottom, silver.
Neversees is like mustard. It gets everywhere.
And it stays there. You know?
It stays there. Oh, my God. Literally, weeks later, you look at your arm and go, how did that look? I took a shower a couple of times. Where did that come from?
I know.
Yeah.
So I used that as a teaching moment, and
good. I'm glad. You know, that's what I love about you, Ray. You are not afraid of sharing your knowledge to like the young generation, because I always feel this program, I always feel gravitates, the old cranky men gravitate to this program.
Yeah. So, Chassie John told me he liked the Echo last week, so I guess they do. I don't know.
I'm telling you, I dig it. I dig the Echo, and old AM radio jocks dig this Echo, well, this gymnasium sound. I love it.
Yeah.
Now, if we can get you to puke like a jog, hey, Bother Mouth Radio, right, hey, how are you? You know, that'll probably work.
Well, but that was the good thing too about this teaching lesson. I know that him and his brother do have a couple of friends who do their own car work, and I met at least one of them. And the guy he's a bona fide shade tree. He knows his stuff. Right. We talked at length about a lot of stuff, and it was like two dogs sniffing each other out. He threw stuff at me. I threw stuff back at him. He threw something at me. Then I threw a bomb at him. I said, yeah, how about this? And he was like, whoa.
You just painted a very bad picture in my mind.
I know.
Each other. Yes, you did.
So, but I know now that when they go back and meet with this guy in some social setting and the talk about, you know, car work comes up, now they'll have a little more information on their side about something they did hands-on that, you know, because they'll remember that. When you put a tool in someone's hand, tell them to do this, they'll remember that, you know, instead of just showing them pictures and diagrams on a board. You know, I believe in hands-on learning, definitely.
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
you're not the guy that says sit down. You know, you can't do this. No, I like the fact that you say, come here, I'll show you how to do this, and I do it too now. I have a little student that is looking to hold the flashlight. So
yeah,
because that's how you start. That's how you start. You hold the flashlight. That's how you start.
Hey, I started like that when I was a kid. You know, it's and then hand in wrenches, and then it's like then you got to learn. Okay, well, you know,
get the tool.
Back then, we didn't have metric wrenches when I was learning, but you know, now a lot of guys don't have they don't even have American tools. But so you have to know, you know, a wrench. What kind of wrench? You know,
but you're right. You had to know the tool. You had to go get the tool. Go get me a Phillips head screwdriver. I'd be like, and this was only last week.
Right, I know. Yeah, you know, yes, the adjustable wrench. Like, okay, you want the American, the American or the metric one? You know, which adjustable wrench do you want? Or like, or a spanner wrench, or a, you know. Or,
yeah, my dad would say, go get the monkey wrench. And I'm looking for the wrench with hair on it. Where's the wrench with hair on it?
That was your arm. And, you know, I'm glad I met you. Yeah, speaking of your arm, you came up in the conversation. Because it came time to put the calipers back on when I got
I'm so sorry to know this.
My torque wrench, and I was using a digital one for the calipers because they're a lower torque. And he says to me, Joe, what's that? I said, well, this is a torque wrench. This is a wrench that applies a specific amount of pressure on the bolt, tightening torque, and you have to look it up in a table. And no more, no less. I said, now there are guys who say they claim that they can tell by oomps and ahs and grunts, like what certain torque. I said, my co-host Chris included, first on the list. There's others, but he's top on the list. I said, and they're kidding themselves because I would differ to say that if we put them to a test like 10 times in a row, they're going to get 10 different readings. I said, this wrench will give you the same reading every time. So I showed him how it works. And I said, here, try it, you know, and I had him doing the digital one with the beeping. But then when I got to the wheels, actually, I took the front caliper brackets off because I couldn't get the calipers off the pads, believe it or not. So I took the whole bracket off. And those are big Mama Luke, like 22 millimeter bolts that are like 77 foot-pounds. So
yeah, they're rough to remove, sure.
Well, yeah, they came off. I got them off easy, but to tighten them, it's 77 foot-pounds. So I took my half-inch drive long torque wrench, set it up, and I said, now grab it by the end, and with one nice, easy pull, I said, this one's going to click. You'll feel it. And as he went up, he goes, now? I'm like, no, not yet. Keep going. And then finally it went, kick. I said, that's it. Now you stop. I said, that's when you know that bolt is torqued. And then I had him do the wheels, too. I had him do the lug nuts. And
that's awesome. I love it.
He was like, those are like 100 foot-pounds. He was like, wow. I said, it's just a nice, smooth pull. And now he knows what it feels like to torque different size fasteners. And I gave him a little information as to why you torque them. So you know, again, it's just, will he ever use it again? I don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe he will, but at least now he's equipped with a little more knowledge. So
I always think that when you hand someone the knowledge, you alleviate the fear, because that's usually what the general consensus is. Don't touch it when you don't know what you're doing. Well, that's just going to leave you ignorant.
Well, think how we learned. I mean, a lot of the yeah. stuff we learned, it was either your friends teaching you or you picked it up from them. I picked up a lot of stuff from friends, good and bad. Luckily, I found a way to flush the bad, but keep the good.
Right. No. You dispense the bad on this program. That's
yeah, I let you talk. Right?
Exactly.
There you go.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
It's the truth, because you know you're going to get bad advice from your friends, guaranteed, because they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, it's not always malicious or done out of, you know, any bad. It's just because they, like you said, they didn't know either. They maybe picked it up from somebody else who gave them the wrong ideas, you know?
And, yeah, exactly. You know, they got it from like Bob Bukey next door or whatever. Yeah. Burns his cars to a crisp. Who knows?
Well, I used to hang out with guys in the neighborhood, and my own older brother. I hung around with him when I was a kid, and watched and learned, and back then guys weren't really giving you lessons on what to do. It wasn't like I was doing yesterday. So it was up to you to just absorb it. If you want to really learn it, here it is. Learn it. And then, you know, from that, I started to read a lot, read books and manuals and things. But luckily, the guys that I was following at the time were on the game. They were kind of doing the right thing. And, you know,
you lucked out.
Yeah.
But it's true. We were all keeping one car running. And that was the joy of it. That was the pressure that you were under. I never realized how little pressure you have when you have more than one car. And I found that I worked better under less pressure.
Okay.
When I had the pressure of getting my car, that car that I had to go to high school with, when I had that torn apart and put back together again, that piece of junk that I bought for $100 to get me back and forth to school, when you have that pressure upon you, like, I got to get this done by Monday morning, it was stress. Yeah. When I had two cars, I was like, okay, if I don't get this done by Monday morning, I have the other car.
You know, I'll tell you something.
So it was nice.
As soon as I got out of high school, I was working in auto parts all the time, but as soon as I got out was the period of time where I always had two cars. And during high school, I had one, but luckily my friend Tom had one, and we shared cars a lot. So I always had the ability to have a car, you know. Well, you know, your friends. You borrowed your friends' cars, right? You
know, no, I never. Oh. Never borrowed my friends' cars. Okay. Never.
Borrowed mine.
Although I did. Well, yeah, that is true.
But not in high school.
That is true. You're a relative, more or less.
Right, right.
I used to have a lot of my friends would leave their cars with me. That would happen. Like if they were taking a trip, they couldn't leave. They had alternate side in Brooklyn. Where I was living at the time in Marine Park, there was no alternate side of the street parking. So you didn't have to move the car. So you could leave a car there for a week, a month, a year, whatever it was, in front of someone's house, much to their dismay. But you could do it.
Right.
I mean, we didn't, but you had that option. So I would take their car and say, yeah, I'll move it around a little bit. But that's all. I never, like, took their car anywhere. I never borrowed their car.
Okay.
I always thought, I always had the my luck theory. Yeah. My luck, someone would go broadside it when I was taking it to go get a pack of gum.
We used to do Chinese fire drills.
Oh, come on.
We would be, you know, friends would be driving, because we're all buzzing around town. We grew up in a one-square-mile town. And
what are you, Richie Cunningham, Happy Days?
You'd be going the opposite way of somebody. You'd stop in the middle of the street. You just nod. You jump out. You switch cars. And we would just take off. And I had a friend who had a motorcycle. So I would get on his bike, and he would take my car, you know, or vice versa. He would take my bike. We did that for – and it was a lot of fun. It really was a lot of fun. But, you know, you had to know who you were doing it with, you know.
That is true. Quick story before the break. We were hanging out in front of my house, a whole bunch of us, and a very good friend of mine had a small block Corvette, a 68. And he was flipping his keys in the air, just flipping them in the air.
Right.
And it just as a moment of just the thought of excitement, I grabbed the keys out of his hand, like right in midair, and ran over and got into the car. My buddy Corey was with me. We both jumped into his car, and I took off with it. Mm-hmm. And I drove over to the Carvel. And at the Carvel was a guy who was working there, my buddy Neil, and he had the baddest Camaro in the valley, basically. And I zipped up onto the sidewalk with the Corvette. Neil was working. It was an outdoor Carvel. So he was serving ice cream outside. It wasn't like he had to go into the store. Yeah. It was like a bank teller window. He's sitting there leaning on the window. There was no customers, and I pull up with the Corvette, and I'm like, come on, let's race now.
Oh, geez.
And Neil's like looking around going, I can't leave work. Come on, wait until 11 o'clock. I says, nope, I'm not waiting. I says, race now. I says, come on, we're going to race for registration, race for pinks. Oh, come on, right now. And Neil's like, I can't go. He says, me. I says, too late, and I take off with the car.
Uh-huh.
I just brought it back to my buddy Paul.
Wouldn't have you been surprised if he did and he won?
I know. It was a gamble. Because the second he would have went to go get his keys, I would have took off anyway.
Nice. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to take off for a break. So I need to know if there's an honor group of the hour you want to share with the good people today.
You betcha. Come on. One topic, two hosts, three listeners. We are ready for the Motor Mouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. That's for sure. And talk about getting old and advancing, marching along as our listeners will always do, as grumpily as they can. If you are genuinely proud of the fact that you still change your own oil in your own vehicle, then you are part of the Motor Mouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. If you don't talk about how you used to change the oil in the old days, if you don't say you change it sometimes, you know, like during good weather and things like that, and other times you just bring it over to the Quickie Lube, or you don't say how the Quickie Lube guy knows you on a first name basis, that'd be really awful. So if you can access your catch pan and wrenches at a moment's notice, fall down on the ground, forget your shop rag, find your way back up again, then successfully get back down on the ground to change your own oil with a minimal amount of toxic waste spillage, then you are part of the Motor Mouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. There you go.
Excellent. And the other honor group that we're honoring, of course, is ABBA for their new album. So teens, fiends, and dancing queens, dig on this while we play a couple of spots here on our break. And we'll be back with more Motor Mouth Radio as soon as we can. Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, and Boogie Down on 90.3 WHPC Queen. Show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CARSTAR Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español.
More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motor Mouth.
Oh.
You know them.
So nice talking to you guys. I miss you.
You love them.
I heard you talking about us, so I thought I'd call in.
Motor Mouth!
You want to serve dinner to them.
How you doing, guys? Sorry to interrupt.
How are you, Ray?
Chris is the sharpest drill bit, right?
This is the first time that I'm actually listening live and working on a car.
Our trained staff of two will help.
I'll call you back when I have the solution.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. That definitely points me in the right direction.
Now hold your breath. I hope you're sitting down.
Motor Mouth!
A tornado of urban legend and BS.
No. I'm not going to wax my Johnson. I'm going to wax my Evinrude.
As always, you are a consummate professional.
When I listen on my laptop, I got to keep that thing screaming.
I don't mean to blow you up on the airwaves.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Oh, this is why I call wrong number by accident.
I want you all to know, sometimes I don't even wear pants.
I have no clue, and I can't hit it with a hammer to fix it.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
So I got to give you guys a call and talk to you.
Motor Mouth!
I'm in the car now.
They're going to talk about working on cars, but they're not going to work on yours.
There is no answer, and it makes you think, and I like the things that make you think.
What are you doing here?
I'm on break.
Okay, good. So are we.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHBC.
Motor Mouth!
Got a car question? Give the Motor Mouths a call at 516-572-7440. You come
to live my dream. Anybody could be that guy. Anybody could be that guy. Remember that. Anybody. Because you're a dancing queen. That's why.
Come on, I had my orthopedic sandals on. I had my high-heeled socks. I was dancing the night away.
I know you were. You know, it's kind of funny because the one song that actually fit better, especially for you, was the one we didn't use. It's this one. Of course. When my daughter was helping me pick this stuff out, I had no ABBA in my, you know, in my vast collection. I have 1,000 CDs or so. I didn't have one ABBA, not even in the best of the 70s collection. I have that full really? Like 10-volume set. There's not one ABBA song in it.
And you know what? I can't even, the name has just popped out of my head. What's the name of the song?
Oh, you'll know. What?
I got this.
You know.
I got to listen to it. This,
of course, I have like, you know, 9,000. It's like Rolls Royce. Mamma Mia,
here I go again. Oh, right. Mamma Mia, of course.
Of course. The old Italian adage of, hey, I'm Mamma Mia. That's the one, all right. Well, so anyway, if you want to give us a call and get in on this fun, you can call us at 516-572-7440. And we will entertain your thoughts. You know, next week, we're going to be, it's the Malba Show.
Right.
And I was asked to attend as a participant. So the plan is to be there as a participant. I guess it's weather permitting. I guess if the show is, you know, if there's rain or whatever, if it's called off, then, you know, that's it. I won't be on. We'll be back here. But otherwise, I should be there with my car, and we will be doing a replay. We'll probably replay a Malba Show with the interview we did with Marty Shore. It's from a few years ago, but that'll be so. Don't call in next week. No one's going to answer the phone. So that'll be what happens next week.
I'm going to try and pry myself away from the insanity that I have going on right now and see what I can do about making that. Cause I don't think I'm going to be able to take the Chrysler down there because I'm still being a weenie about it, about putting that car in a highway.
Well, there's, you know, the danger drive. It's the art of the danger drive. And that's a significant danger drive.
That would be. The funny thing is, I don't know whether it was growing up in my family, we never trusted our cars, even though we worked on them. Never trusted our cars fully. And I don't know about you, but I hate getting stuck.
That's why, because you guys worked on them, right?
Yeah, exactly. No, it's totally led myself into that. But it's like guys like Jay Leno drives his 1904 Stanley Steamer, and it gets stuck. He's got a whole fleet of people following him. What does he care? Right. Maybe he sets up a banquet on the sidewalk waiting for the tow truck.
Let's go to the phones.
We don't have that luxury. Yes.
Let's go to the phones and the fun and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
All right, easy going, Abbot Breath.
What's happening, Bob?
How are you, gentlemen?
Good.
Robert.
Yes. On a side note, ABBA is going to tour again. Not that I'm going to go to it. I have nothing against ABBA.
Yeah, I'm not.
But it's like a Ron Stevens weekend here.
Yeah. But, you know, what it was? I was reading, I think, the Post, and they showed, it just intrigued me because now they're all in their 70s and they don't look like they did when they were in their late 20s and 30s. And what they did is they wore those, let's see, what did I call it? There's a name for it.
Spandex.
The motion capture suits. It's the suit that has all the little dots over it, and they can dance. Oh, and then what they can do is they make a avatar. They make an avatar out of their movements. That's what they do in video games. Yeah. So they can choose their own faces and whatnot. So now they look like a younger version of themselves, but it is them going through the moves, and that's how they're doing this concert, which I think is kind of lame. Just let them get up there and listen. Plenty of rockers get up there. Look at the Stones, and they look like they should be, you know, not on a stage, and they do it because they love the music. So I'm down on it for that, but I figured, hey, you know what? It's a good way to start the show, and then I really put myself in a conundrum to try and find it. Like I said, I got 1,000 CDs. I didn't have one ABBA song in all of it.
Wow.
But this is off the soundtrack of the movie. My daughter was able to get it for me. I'm like, okay. So,
while you were playing that, my young one was dancing in the kitchen making an English muffin.
All right.
So I had a question for you about a relay.
Okay.
I got a question for you about a relay. So I have a Husqvarna down south, and it had an issue with the keying ignition to turn it over. So, the machine didn't owe me anything, and it was left outside by one of the girls. And so I ordered a Husqvarna ignition switch and Husqvarna relay. And there's a gentleman down there that gives me a hand to troubleshoot. He's a pretty good hands-on guy. So we put the relay in, and then we put the ignition switch in. And then we moved the machine and then started working on another machine I have to work on down there. And went to restart the shed, and it wouldn't go. It wouldn't turn over. It wouldn't even click. But the batteries sound. So what I troubleshot originally on the no start, I used the flathead screwdriver to jump it.
Okay.
So I'm thinking, okay, that's one way to test that the relay's down. I said, well, I'll just change the ignition switch also. So I'm trying to figure out now, do I have a bad factory relay? And I don't think it's the key, the new ignition key. I'm thinking that it's a,
all right,
you know, what do you suggest?
Let me run this through like in a very vague manner here. You got to look at the path of, you know, everything starts at the battery. The current goes through the switch. The switch just energizes the system. Okay. So what the switch will do is, as long as the relay is sound and there's power, if assuming it's a Bosch type relay where terminal 30 is ground and then 85 is ignition, if you could get a test light with a probe on there on, right. And the relay should have the markings on the bottom of it to show you what terminal, which tab is which terminal. When you turn the key on, you should get, you should have a battery voltage to the relay, yeah, that goes through a fuse. And if that fuse is blown, the relay is never going to work.
Then it wouldn't turn over at all then, because the fuse is going to block that. No?
Well, right, because the relay needs power to energize the coil. Right. Then the key,
well, not the fuse.
Then the key actually energizes the terminal 80, 86 or 87 of the relay, which closes it and then sends the juice down to the starter. So you can diagnose that relay with a test light if you can get in there. That's why these sockets that I was talking about earlier are great, because you pull the relay out, you put the socket in place of the relay, and then plug the relay into the socket, and it gives you the terminals on the outside, so you don't have to fiddle around with little jumper wires or, you know, little probe wires.
Okay.
So that's really the best way to diagnose it, to see if everything up to the relay is good. And if that's all good, then obviously you look from there down and you want to see if you have, you know, current at the starter. Again, you can do it with a test light if you have access to it. You know, and you could also, that's when a power probe comes in handy, because you could actually apply power and or ground to any part of the circuit that needs it, and then you just kind of back. You see, well, then you can see what's not working by what is working. So
got it. Okay. All right. Yeah. You gave me a path.
Yeah, it's fairly simple. But you know, if you had a diagram, I like to see diagrams because I'm a visual. You know, I'm a visual learner. You know, this stuff I know now. I can picture it in my head. I can draw it. But you know, in the past, I like to have a diagram so I could follow the path and say, okay, this goes to here, mm-hmm. this goes to there. But like I said, the relay does have, should have a dedicated battery source that is fused. And it could be an inline fuse or it could be fused at a fuse box, depending on the equipment that it's in.
These were inline fuses.
Okay. Yeah, I would definitely check that. Yeah, check it all.
Yeah. All right, you gave me a path. Thanks. So just, you know, sometimes you can get a factory part, it comes out of the box, and, you know, it's as dead as the part that you took out.
Well,
there's an acronym for that.
You know, right. Joe used to say it all the time. It's a new part, right? So here we go.
Guys, we all know what new spells
never, ever work.
That's right.
There you go. Never in service, never ever worked. It's so true. Yeah. So,
well, guys, I want to thank you. I'm going to head down there, I think, next weekend. So I'll look up online the diagram on the machine.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have a working reference, and then I'll put a test light on from the ignition switch all the way down to the starter on the parts that I can reach.
Yeah, you also want to verify that relay does have ground on terminal 30 if it's a Bosch relay, because without ground, the power side isn't going to work. So, you know, again, it's power and ground all the way through. And, you know, connections, of course, are paramount also. But yeah, could have a bad switch. It's, you know, yeah, but you want to check that as well. I mean, that's when it's good to know someone that knows how to hotwire a car, because essentially what you're doing to test it is hotwiring it, which means, bypass the switch. Exactly.
Right. Yeah. See, my one concern was that I'm not going to keep it any longer. I turned the machine over, was able to move the lawnmower to another side of the house. And then when I went to start it and put it in the shed, no start, a non-start. So then we took the screwdriver out and I jumped the terminals, of course.
On the start?
Moved the machine. On the relay.
Oh, does it have like a relay, like a Ford relay that the battery terminals go on? It's
Exactly.
It's almost
identical. So you have the two reverse thread screws coming up, and you can get a blade on that, and you can go from terminal to terminal.
All right. See, I was picturing the square Bosch-style relay that plugs into a socket. That's what I was picturing, and that's what I was talking about.
Yeah.
You have the Bakelite-style Ford starter relay, which is a real easy one. Like I said, you can get on that thing. But again, there's a terminal on that relay, a small post, that'll get the power when the key is turned. So you put a test light on that, turn the key, and that test light should light. If it doesn't, then it's bad inside the relay. And then if it lights, mm-hmm. but the starter doesn't spin, then you look between there and the starter, and then, you know, again, it's just diagnosing it in little chunks. Yeah, you do little pieces at a time, little bites.
Okay. I want to thanks, guys. I hope I didn't take too much of your time.
No problem, Bob. Always a pleasure.
Have a great week.
Always a pleasure, Bob.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
So bye-bye. Long.
All righty.
516-572-7440 is the phone number. The reason why they had that relay that you're talking about, Ray, is so that the 12-volt current, that massive amount of current doesn't go through the ignition switch. Am I right?
It saves
on the ignition switch and those small components.
The best way to describe a relay, I read this many years ago, it uses a very small current to switch a large current. So what it does is just uses a small reference from a key, which is, you know, it could be milliamps or it could be, you know, maybe an amp, and it'll switch mm-hmm. the load of the starter, which could be 600 amps, you know, like on a dead load.
Right, the amperage. You know.
The relay enables you to do that, and that takes the brunt. Because, yeah, like that's why I put headlight relays in my Pontiac. In the 60s, when my car was built, the thought of the day was battery voltage came up from the battery through the horn relay into the car, through the headlight switch, and then back out to the headlights. So when you pull those lights on, the full load went through that switch and everything, you know, and all the wiring, and that's how cars burned up. You install relays, and now all the switch does is turn the relays on and off. You can say, mm-hmm. okay, it doesn't really turn the lights on and off. It does, because it actually turns the relay on, which in turn turns the headlights on. So it takes a lot of weight off the electrical system.
Right. You're taking that amperage flow out of the headlight switch.
Right. Correct.
You're keeping it out from inside the car, which is keep that amperage on the other side of the firewall.
Well, that's why they did it, you know, always with, air horns. Always had, they came in a relay, like you buy hella fog lights, they'd come with a relay back in the day.
Sure.
You know, and of course, all the modern cars didn't really start adopting them until the 80s.
You
didn't start seeing relays under the hood, but I always wondered what took the electrical engineers so long. It's not that they didn't catch on, because of course they knew the technology. I bet you it was they had to convince the suits that that's the way to rewire these things with new fuse boxes and different wiring, and there was a retooling.
Cost.
Exactly.
Cost is always the factor.
And I bet you that was the real bottom line.
Right. There had to have been some sort of justification to initiate that cost.
Exactly.
And maybe it was fires. It could very well be, which always goes back to the insurance companies and say, hey, your cars are catching fire.
You know,
we're paying too much.
The other thing, if you drive
on the stick,
driving down the road now, if you see a car coming at you and you see like yellowy headlights, you know, oh, that's probably from the 60s, from the 70s or earlier, you know, with the incandescent bulbs. Even if you put a halogen bulb in those cars, they don't always burn bright because of the voltage drop and the resistance in the circuit. But when you put those relays in, you get that's another one of the benefits. You get the full current to the device, be it the starter or the light or whatever, and you get a nice brighter light. So it's
I believe it. I remember dropping a set of halogen headlights in the TR6. I think I told you. And I just put them in.
I didn't burn to the ground.
Any modifications whatsoever. But it made the alternator to make a nice whistle.
Well, that's the other part. The alternator has to make up for it. My Fiat, I did headlight relays because I did have a voltage drop. It was the voltmeter in the car would show me like a 2.5 to 3, sometimes 3-volt drop when I turned the headlights on in that car.
Ooh.
And I had kind of already touched up all the grounds and worked at optimizing it. But I said, I got to put headlight relays in. And once I did, I saw maybe, a couple tenths of a volt of a drop.
Wow.
And it was made a big, big, big difference,
Saves your battery, saves the alternator.
Sure.
That's for sure. The alternator is not working as hard to compensate for that draw.
Exactly. And audio equipment is the other thing that they usually would, install relays in, switching relays and stuff. So, it's some people still look at it as black science. And again, like a brake job, I tell people, look, if you're not comfortable doing that, don't do it. Find someone who can help you, or there's really good tutorials and diagrams online now. I mean, some of the best are out there. Ron Francis Wiring has some great stuff in their catalog and online. All the wiring companies. I'm not going to remember them all now. But anybody who sells harnesses or components, I know M&M is one of them. There's so many of them out there. You can get that information. And then most people have a friend who knows a little something about electricity, that can follow. A relay is fairly simple. It is fairly simple. It's just a matter of getting your hands in there and doing it. And then making good crimps and good splices. That's the other part of the story. You don't want to be twisting wires together or, making hokey connections, because now the benefit of the relay is flushed out the window. So,
And I've come to realize all of that is super important to make sure your electrical connections are secure, because I've tried the hokey way. I've tried it. It doesn't work. You will always see smoke. Always.
Yeah, it won't work in the long run. It'll work in the immediate, some of the cars I've worked on that had wires twisted together with wire nuts. Wire nuts, now I don't know. This is a general belief in the automotive. Wire nuts belong on house wiring. And then I say, well, wait a minute. If house wiring, which is 120 volts, which could be easily 30, 40, 50, or more amps, if they withstand that and they're rated for that, why can't you put it on a 12-volt system that's only going to be pulling, 8 to 10 amps? In theory, it really, that statement doesn't hold water in my mind. It's just that it's just like with one of the, this is more of a personal preference than anything, but I always thought on a motorcycle to use hose clamps looked wrong to me, because a hose clamp is automotive. So I like to use Oedeker clamps, which are those full circle clamps. You use a CV boot tool to crimp them. That looks right to me on a motorcycle. Which, obviously, it's more of a personal preference thing. It doesn't, but that electrical thing, like I said, works in a house. Why can't it work on a car? Nah, it doesn't look right. you know.
No, it doesn't look right. I have actually used regular wire nuts on audio equipment when I knew the radio wasn't going to stay with the car. The radio was going to go in one direction and the car was going to go in the other. So I didn't want to really do a super duper secure wire connection where I knew that what the component was temporary.
Right.
Then I was able to. Then I wouldn't feel so bad. But no, if it was going to live with the car, yeah, there was a lot of times I would get under there with the soldering iron. Put a cover over the carpet and slide under the dash with the soldering iron and be really super duper careful.
Oh yeah.
And don't get solder dripping on your forehead.
Oh yeah.
I know.
I know. We all do. Yeah. It burns those Kiana shirts like that.
You bet. Oh, holy boy. Smokes. Don't, and it's not a job you should do with your mouth open either.
You can smell the Kiana's screaming as you melt that shirt. I know. And back in the day, those were expensive shirts. You know, that was not a cheap, you know.
And they burned really well.
And yeah, but like I said, yeah, you saved your money to get a nice shirt like that. You know, you really did.
Yeah, right. Working in the hardware store, boy.
Yeah.
At least you needed a couple of days overtime.
Go down to Maze or, you know, something like that. I used to go to the local stores, and we had some local stores that sold the stuff. And
nothing says flammable like polyester.
No, it's exactly right. You got that right. So we are winding down for this hour when we will, yes. If the weather is nice, we'll be back in abstention next week, like I said, because I'll be over at the Malibu show with my car and hanging out with Billy G and all the boys from Whitestone. And then and then we'll be back the following week. The following week on the 19th, I believe it is, we're scheduled to have Uncle Tony DeFeo from Uncle Tony's Garage nice. With us. Right.
Awesome.
Oh, throwing roadblocks
very
at Kim.
Cool.
So we have him scheduled for 2 weeks, and we'll be talking about all stuff. So bone up on his YouTube channel because he has a lot of cool stuff.
Yes, I will. I'd be very excited to be talking to Uncle Tony. That would be very nice.
All right, so as the bus comes to pick me up, we're going to get out of here. What do we always say to people waiting in the parking lot, Chris?
Don't follow us home, and don't solder with your mouth open.
Right. Stay tuned to Kim and Thunder Road, the best of Springsteen and the band, and we'll be back. Kim, check us in a week or two, and we'll see you then, right? All right.
See you, bye.
See you on 90.3 WHBC. Out.